The writer of Psalm 13 doesn't really mince words. Often in the Psalms or often in our own prayers, we'll begin our prayer by addressing God and giving thanks to God and talking to God about how holy He is, how majestic He is, all the good things He has done for us. And then we'll get to our petitions or our concerns. But Psalm 13, the writer doesn't do that. He gets right into it. He doesn't address God at all. He just starts, "How long, O Lord? How long?" In the midst of evil and suffering and enemies that are before the writer, he just gets into it with God. "How long until you remember I am here? How long will you hide from me?" You can hear there's accusation in his voice. He's accusing God. "How long will my soul be confused and my heart grieve? How long will my enemies continue to beat me down?" The writer doesn't question why there is evil in the world. He assumes that there is. What he questions and what he wonders is simply and straightforwardly where God is in the midst of it all. The writer doesn't wonder if God exists. He wonders why God seems to actively be absent, gone, hidden. So this psalm, there's all sorts of different categories you can put the psalms into. This one probably fits as a complaint. It's a prayer of complaint before the Lord. The writer is torn. Torn in a way that I think many of you have been torn before. Torn between what you know and what you've learned about God, the lessons your Sunday school teachers shared with you, the lessons pastors have shared over the years, the lessons that we're going to share with the kids at Vacation Bible School this week, lessons you've learned at Bible camp or any other time, lessons that you've learned where you've heard that God is caring, God is loving, God has concern for you, He is compassionate, He is kind, He is merciful. You're torn between what you've heard and learned about God and what you are currently experiencing, like the psalmist is experiencing. Torn between what you've learned and torn between what you are now going through, where it feels like God is just not there. The psalmist accuses God of forgetting him, of hiding from him. And in these times when you are torn between these two things, your faith is tested. The writer of this psalm, his faith is being tested. Your faith is tested when God doesn't answer with the promptness that you think He should. Answer me right now. Faith is tested when God doesn't show up like you think He should. Faith is tested when your enemy, whether your enemy is the devil, the world, and all its trappings, or your own sinful nature that wants to take you ways that you don't want to go, your enemy gloats over you and threatens to prevail. These are times when we are tested, when God doesn't give answer like we think He should. And at these times, temptation can creep in. Maybe you've experienced these temptations to become bitter and hostile towards God. And not just angry, but even hatred. Maybe you've been tempted to accuse God, to speak falsely about God, to accuse Him of being a tyrant, or even to blame Him for your problems. Or maybe in these difficult times, you've been tempted even to throw it all away, to lose faith entirely. God forgets me, then I'm going to forget God. God hides from me, then I'm going to hide myself from him. But when we feel like God forgets, he calls us to remember. You can almost imagine the psalmist, the writer of this psalm, suddenly remembering. The first four verses are, he's throwing out accusations to God. How long? He's being forceful. He's saying, look at me. Answer me, God. Light up my eyes again, lest I die. Look at me. He's forceful. But then it just changes. Verse 5, it changes entirely. It's like all of a sudden he remembers who God is, what God has done in the past, and he shifts course entirely as verse 5 says, I trust your love. That word for love is the Hebrew word chesed. And if you ever want to sound really intelligent before people and quote Hebrew to them, you make sure that you give like kind of this like throat clearing sound before you say the word chesed. You don't just say chesed, you say chesed. Then they'll think, oh, this guy must really know. And you got them all fooled, just like that. But the word that the Hebrew uses right there is, I trust your chesed. And this Hebrew word for love is this wonderful word that you find throughout the Old Testament. It's almost exclusively used of God's action towards human beings. And it's loaded with meaning. In fact, it's so loaded that English translations have a difficulty of translating it. In one place, you'll see it translated as grace. Another place, maybe mercy. You'll see it translated as kindness or steadfast love or faithfulness or loyalty, patience. It's all over the map, kindness. And why it's difficult to translate is because it's a word that is based on the evidence and the history of God's action towards his people. It's a word that is based on the evidence of how God has acted towards human beings. And so it is grace, it is mercy, it is compassion, it is patience, it is steadfast faithfulness, it is steadfast love. And the way the writer knows to trust in this is because he looks back on God's word. He looks back on what he knows of God, how he knows that God has always, always been there. That God has given his word, a word that is unfailing, a word that is full of promise, a word that reminds him that God was there when his people were in slavery in Egypt and there delivered them. A word that reminds the writer as he's going through his problems that God has fed his people throughout history, has provided for them, has given them rains when they needed, has given them food when they needed, has given and defended them in battle when they needed. A word that shows that God always shows up and is always there. This is a word that describes what God has done for us too. What better word to describe God's steadfast love and faithfulness? And what better example, what a better grounding in history than the Lord himself showing up to us in Jesus Christ, coming and dying for us? What better word is there to show and describe the Lord than this love? This is God's steadfast love toward us based on the promise of his unfailing word. And so strong is the word of God that it's the word of God that gives us faith in the word of God. So today, be fed by this word of God's love towards you. Be fed through your ears. Be fed also through your mouth as we receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, to strengthen you in times of trial, times when you feel like and you wonder where God is, where you, with the psalmist, want to say, "How long, O Lord?" Be fed by God's word to strengthen you, to give you trust through all these times. Amen.